Liberty University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Hour 3 of The Big Show. I'm Todd Starnes. We are broadcasting today from our flagship station, KWAM in Memphis, Tennessee. I got to tell you, it's so nice not to be in New York City anymore. It really is. We got out just in the nick of time, relocating down here in April, and now the whole city's just been turned into just devastation. I mean, just complete devastation. If you are planning to go on a vacation there, just don't. Just save your money. Go to Branson. Go to Dollywood. Go to the Redneck Riviera. But there's nothing for you there. Just crime and disease and pestilence. And it's very sad. And Democrats. Very sad. All right. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. Great friend of this program, Pastor Jack Hibbs from Chino Hills Calvary Chapel Church. And Pastor, good to have you with us. Hope you're doing good.
Todd, it's great to be with you. And we're doing better than good out here. Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, so look, I'm excited about this because you and John MacArthur and Pastor McCoy and Dr. Paul Chapel up in Lancaster, you guys are sort of leading the charge here on standing up and engaging in your First Amendment freedoms.
Well, Todd, it's exactly right, exactly as you put it. And I kind of, you know, being a Southern California guy, this is what's really happening. There are some pastors who decided to, when they saw the wave coming, to actually stand up and ride the board. And a lot of guys let the wave go by. So what we're seeing now, Todd, is, again, we've been open. So the big newsmaker was when John MacArthur decided to open, he got media attention. And then it's revealed to California and the nation that, hey, there's quite a few churches standing up and open up during this COVID experience. So we have seen, Todd, since May 31st, record number of conversions, record number of attendance every week. Last Sunday, we had 13,000 adults here. And it's just absolutely amazing. People are driving from all over the place just to worship God. And it's really beginning to affect this entire state for the good.
Pastor, I'm wondering if you can give us an update on how things are in Ventura County, you know, with Pastor McCoy, a fellow Calvary Chapel guy. We understand that he could be punished today.
Yeah, exactly right. First of all, Rob and I have been friends for over 20 years. And he's, as you and I speak, Todd, he is in court right now. He was held in contempt of court after he conducted his services last Sunday. Then the county issued a contempt of order on him to appear in court today, which he is as I speak. And the county announced that they would send sheriff deputies to guard the church's doors from being opened. This is stormtrooper type Nazism taking place in Ventura County. And the good thing about my brother, Rob, he's not going to back down. And we need to see how this goes. But as far as I know, Todd, this is the most extreme and militant action by a county and city government against the church in modern American history.
Jack, it's like something you would see. And we had Franklin Graham on the program in the last hour. He said this is something you would see in the old Soviet Union, you know, in Eastern Europe. It's really unacceptable for something like this to happen on American soil.
Yes. Yeah, we've been we live in a great county. We have great friendships with county and state representatives and city representatives. And we have been giving letters of you need to stop what you're doing. You face these fines. We could cut off your utilities. And these were warnings. And of course, we forwarded them to our attorneys. But this is a different world, Todd. And And I want to encourage the Christian and the pastor. You know, we've all read our New Testaments and we've all read our Old Testament exploits of great acts of faith, and we love it, right? And some people have gone so far to say, boy, I wish I would have lived during the times of Jesus. Well, hello, wake up, brother. We're in it now. And this is the time for the church to stand, not to hide. This is a time for us to do Christianity, not just study it. So I got to tell you, I know this sounds crazy, Todd, but out of all these 50 states, I would not want to be anywhere else than Southern California right now, because the battle is amazing. Thousands of people are coming to church and they're starving. The spiritual, there's a revival happening. People are waking up and flocking to churches that are open. Here's the problem, Todd. There are far too many pastors that are hiding for fear. They've told me, I'm not going to open until the governor says to. And that is the problem. And John MacArthur has been addressing this just as John MacArthur can. But more and more churches are standing. And I would encourage your national audience, pray for California. Watch what happens. I think we're going to see a tremendous influence this November election because the churches are starting to stand up and open up.
This is so exciting, and I've gotten a couple of calls from some churches out there saying, hey, you know, we want to stand up to, will you come out? And I'm like, heck yeah. Yep. You know, just let me know when and I'll be there. Pack a toothbrush, and you know what? Well, if they haul off everybody off to jail, so be it. But honestly, Pastor, I don't think they're going to do that. I don't think they can. I don't think they've got enough space for the 2,500 people that turned out at Pastor Rob's service on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly correct. And there's and I love what you just said, Todd. You're exactly correct. Listen, no matter how liberal a government might be, they don't want those kinds of optics. They don't want that to be on the news. And so what people were doing, Todd, up there at Rob's church, everybody had their cameras out, their phones out. Everybody's recording everything. And the actor, producer, Kirk Cameron showed up. I know 300 people from our church drove north to be there, to be in solidarity. And this is what happened. People began announcing, how many of you attend church here on a regular basis? People raised their hands. They said, get to the back of the line. Let's have the first 1,000 people here be visitors, because the county said we're going to arrest or cite the first 1,000 people. So the visitors were the first ones in line to be cited rather than the home church. I thought that was brilliant.
I love what Pastor MacArthur said. Welcome to a Grace Community Church's peaceful protest.
Oh, amen.
That was brilliant.
Oh, yeah,
that was brilliant.
Amen. Todd, we've been doing that every Sunday since May 31st. I walk out to the podium. I welcome everyone to the church. And then I say, if the authorities show up, I want you to throw your Bibles at one another, and I want you to lay hands on one another in the Lord, and we'll create our own little riot, and we'll all be legal.
Love it. Love it. Pastor, this is, look, as ludicrous and as silly as this all may sound, you know, this is what you guys are having to deal with in California. This is the reality of your situation right now.
Yeah, Todd, and it's. I know this is going to sound crazy to some people that might be, you know, living Christianity right now in some sleepy little hollow across our beautiful country, but the church in California, hallelujah, is being biblically obedient, spirit-filled, and civically disobedient to bad laws. And that's exactly what Romans 13 would have of us to do, obey righteous laws with rulers who have been appointed to maintain righteousness. But when they cross the line and issue, based on Isaiah chapter 10, verse 1, evil edicts and write misfortune for the people, then it's time for us to act up. That's what Acts chapter 5 is all about. That's happening. And so for us to say, and this is what we're doing here, we are asking people to prepare themselves to run for assembly, to run for governor. In the next coming election, we want Newsom voted out, but we want to have Christians run for office. So this is awakening the church in California like I have never seen in my 45 years of being a born-again Christian. People are no longer taught, or people saying, well, are you a Baptist? Are you Calvary Chapel? Are you a Lutheran? Are you Presbyterian? No one's even talking like that here anymore. People have been united. I've never seen it. like this, I'm so full of excitement. Todd, you got to come. You've got to come to our pulpit, and you've got to see what's happening.
Would love to. I mean, it would be an honor. And look, I wrote a book about this back in October, Pastor Jack, and it's crazy because the opening chapter was set 20 years from now, and it described in great detail exactly what's happening in our country right now. And again, going back to something you said, this is about the church standing up, and you're doing so in a civil way. And you and I both know there's some of our fellow brothers in the Lord that like to do the grandstanding, and I get that, but not you, not Pastor Rob, not John MacArthur, not Dr. Chappell. You guys are in the pulpit. You're doing this in a very gentle, kind way, but at the same time, you're standing up and saying, you know what? We're going to take a stand, but we will not be our rights will not be infringed upon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, look at us. We are so rich, Todd, in this country because we do get to claim and adhere to and hang on to the First Amendment. Other nations in the world, they don't have that. Now, do we have to have a First Amendment to be Christians? No. But God has given us that as I would like to look at it, like the way Paul invoked the fact that he was a Roman citizen to appeal to Caesar. He had that born Roman right. Well, pastors in America have that right to call upon the First Amendment. But if they took that away from us, Todd, the church is transcendent. We still have the Word of God. We still have, from Genesis to Revelation, the mandate to preach the gospel. So I want to encourage pastors and Christians like never before, just announce the gospel. People are hurting. People need truth, and this truth of the gospel is like a light that is piercing through the fog and the darkness of these confusing days. It is really an amazing time. I'm delighted to be pastoring a church and to be a Christian at this time. It's epic. It's the last days, so we need to be busy about our Father's business.
Well said. Well said. Well, Pastor, we're going to have to leave it there. This is exciting. You have an open invitation to come on this program. Any way our listeners can be a help, you just let us know and we'll be there.
I tell you what, Todd, after we hang up, I'm going to text you and I'm going to invite you to Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, brother.
I'll be there. Wow, this is exciting. This is going to be a lot. This is going to be pretty awesome. Pastor, God bless you. Jack Hibbs, ladies and gentlemen, we've got links to his church and the ministry on our page, toddstearns.com. But you know, what he said was very important, and you need to pay very close attention to the words I'm about to utter. Elections have consequences. For far too long, the church in California remained silent. They did not engage the culture. They did not go and vote on election day. And you know what happened? Just about every Republican was voted out of office. The Democrats have what they call a supermajority in the state house. In other words, it doesn't matter if every Republican voted together. They still would not have enough votes to fight back against the radical Democrats who control the state of California. So I really do hope, and I feel pretty encouraged listening to Pastor Jack as he says, you know what? We are fired up. People are beginning to understand what's going on here. And maybe, just maybe, they might be able to facilitate some change there in the state of California. But understand this, you Christians, you folks that are Jewish in the state of California, this is your fault. But that's the bad news. But the good news is you can fix this by getting out there and going to vote and engaging in the political process. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868 is our toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Let's go to the phones, 844-747-8868. Missouri Matthew is on the line. Hi, Matthew. What's going on?
Hey, I'm a pastor. I called you probably a month ago, but I'm a pastor in Sikeston, Missouri, and we're pretty blessed to have a Southern Baptist governor that's just, he really he has a strange philosophy. It's called, he believes people have individual freedom and can choose to do what they think is best for them. It's a radical idea that California and Michigan and New York and New Jersey and some of these other states should investigate. They might find their economy would change around. But I was thinking about that whole thing with the churches. Maybe, Todd, you could go out there and start Lancaster Baptist with Pastor Chapel. Go by grace and do interviews with each of these pastors and help them have more of a platform just to really enunciate, maybe get some together about what the other churches can do in other states and stuff. Because all of them have such a respect, you know, nationally, like in Independent Baptist, people know about Pastor Chapel. Of course, everybody knows about John MacArthur and so on and so forth. And I think that would be really like a Todd Starnes rally at the Capitol would be pretty cool in Sacramento.
That would be fun. That
you know, you can do it. Maybe get some of your fellow. I did have a question that's kind of on this. I'm really concerned about the schools, the ones that are meeting in person. Let's say Joe Blow's kid gets the coronavirus. The health department calls, and they'll put pressure for them to give, you know, who are all the kids that were in there and stuff. And I'm really concerned about these schools giving out parents' personal information to the health department. I've been calling mine. So I don't know if you've heard thought about that or anybody's thought about it, but I'm really concerned. It's the one thing for the school to call and say, hey, we had corona. It's another for them to violate HEPA and give our personal information to the health department. And I'll finish with this. A pastor who had corona in our association, I asked him, what advice would you give to us, you know, as far as other pastors dealing with it? Number one thing he said is, the health department is not our friend. Keep up the good work, brother. Keep going.
Mike. All right. Well, Pastor Matthew, thank you. Thank you for that. I agree with him. I don't believe the health department is our friend. I sure don't. As far as what Pastor Matthew said about children who might come down with corona in the class at school and moms and dads get involved in the HIPAA stuff, look, that's a valid concern. I was reading a story this morning from the UK where apparently they are putting into policy rules and regulations so that would allow the government to come in and take your child, citing the Wuhan, China virus. No, I'm not making this up. So this kind of stuff is out there. You got to be very careful. I will not even go into a restaurant now where if they require me to turn over my personal information to be able to sit down and eat a meal, I'm not going to do it. So I'll just, grab something at home. But I'm just not going to do that. And the government has way too much information already. And you do need to be careful about that. So Pastor Matthew out in Missouri, thank you. And, you know, I think that's a terrific idea. Maybe we could do some sort of a rally. You know, I'm going to be out in California. I've got a couple of speaking engagements out there over the next couple of months, but maybe, just maybe, we could put something together. All right, 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. We'll be right back. Back to the Todd Starnes radio show. You know, a lot of these former White House staffers, they go out there and they write the tell-all books and they try to score a few bucks by taking some cheap shots at the president. I mean, everybody does this, Republicans, Democrats. But I got to tell you something. Really appreciate Madeline Westerhout. She is the former director of Oval Office Operations during the Trump years. And she got fired from her job, and she wrote a book. Name of the book is called Off the Record. I guess it's just out now or something. I don't know. Anyway, she got fired because she leaked to reporters and she got caught. And you know what she did? Again, the book is out today. She was on with Ducey on Fox and Friends, And she took ownership. She said, you know what? Yeah, I just completely lost my mind. I screwed up. She said that it was her day off. She had had a couple of drinks by the pool with the little, I guess, the little umbrellas. You know the kind I'm talking about, you Methodists out there. She says, I accepted an invitation for an off-the-record dinner with four reporters. So at the dinner, she had some more drinks, and basically she started spilling the beans. So, you know, look, a couple of things here. You can't trust reporters. You know, they get you boozed up, and the next thing you know, you're, you know, running down the street buck naked, telling everybody secrets. Nobody wants that. So my recommendation is, look, stick with the Baptist martini. If you're in government, if you're in journalism, stick to the Baptist martini. You say, Tom, what is the Baptist martini? It's a Diet Coke with a wedge of lemon, or lime, if you will. So if you do that, you're not going to get yourself in any trouble. That's what I tell the guys here on the radio show. And Caleb, you know, you've never been caught running buck naked down the, you know, the main street in Gainesville.
Not yet, but
all right. Well, that's good. That's good. So anyway, all that to say, good for you, Madeline. It's nice to have somebody who, you know what, fesses up, says, you know what, had a great gig working for a great man, and I screwed up, and I'm really sorry about it, but I got to take ownership. Good for you, ma'am. And I think you're going to do quite well in life. I sure do. All right. I want to go to the Liberty University newsmaker line, and very honored to have a man that everyone listening to us on KARN, you know this guy, Senator Jason Raypert. Senator, good to have you back with us.
It's great to be with you, and appreciate all that you do, Todd. You know, I've been a great fan of yours for years, and we just appreciate you for keeping up the good work for God and country. And so when you come over to Arkansas sometime, knowing that you like barbecue so much, we need to do a little barbecue tour here in central Arkansas and see if it stacks up against Memphis for you.
You know, I will accept that challenge. I have not been, I haven't spent much time in Arkansas, but I will say that I'm an Arkansas property owner. The radio station's towers are actually right across the river in West Memphis. So we get over there every now and again. So, all right, I'll take you up on that one, Senator.
Well, we'll make it happen. There's some great places here in Arkansas, and thank you for having me today.
Well, we want to talk about this this great organization called the National Association of Christian Lawmakers. Tell us what's going on here. You guys getting the Christians together?
Well, it's exactly right. It's pretty fantastic, to be honest with you. You know, about 3 years ago, I actually began to talk with leaders around the country, and I asked this question. I said, why is there not an association of Christian lawmakers? And people kind of looked at me and thought, the first thought was, I can't believe there's not one. And then we began to look, and we found out, Todd, that there never had been one officially formed in the history of the country. And so the idea took root, and I began to put together a national board of advisors, including Governor Mike Huckabee, former Congressman Bob McEwen from Ohio. We've got Tony Perkins with Family Research Council, very diverse board, Todd. Even Andrew Womack of Womack Ministries, you know, just got a cease and desist order at their ministry in Colorado a few days ago. Andrew Womack's on the board, and wall builders, you know, David Barton and Tim Barton.
So basically, you're saying it's the JV team here.
Well, we got a great
team.
Big-time
guys.
The reason I wanted to get to Tim Barton is Timothy Barton. I said, Tim, when we take off at this meeting, I want you to set the stage. So what happened is on August the 4th and 5th of August, just last week, lawmakers from all across the nation, we even had Representative Sarah Vance from Alaska, Todd, that flew all the way to Destin, Florida, because she had to be there for this historic event. And so she came in, and I want to make sure to say what Tim said, because it absolutely lit the room up. And he was stating what I just said, that there had never been an organization like this before. But he said, but you will be interested to know that Alexander Hamilton, one of our founding fathers, actually wrote a letter in 1802 to another founding father, James Baird. And in that letter, he said, there is a need, and we must form a Christian Constitution Society. And he said that the two primary goals was to support the Christian religion in our nation and to support the U.S. Constitution. So what happened, as right at 40 elected lawmakers you know, cut through the COVID red tape just to get there. And we realized, they begin to look around the room, you could tell, they realized what we're doing here is basically fulfilling a vision of one of our founding fathers. Now, unfortunately, Todd, Aaron Burr killed Alexander Hamilton in that famous duel 2 years later in 1804. And so we came together. The mission of the organization is to bring together federal, state, and local lawmakers in support of clear biblical principles by meeting regularly to discuss the major policy issues facing our country. But then we take action by proposing model ordinances, model statutes, and resolutions clearly from a biblical worldview. And people are excited about it, Todd. We've had so much support that's come in for this. And we know that this country has swung back the other way. There's been an assault on biblical values and God in our country clearly since 1962 when they went after prayer in school. 1963, they went after the Bible. 1973, then what did they do? They legalized abortion, and now they've killed over 60 million little babies in our nation. In the 80s, they went after the Ten Commandments. In 2015, they went after marriage. And we say enough is enough. You see the problem on the streets of America, Todd. They're rioting on the streets. They're assaulting law enforcement officers. They're laying siege to downtowns of these big cities across the country. And we're rising up to say that, look, the Bible says that when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But when the wicked beareth rule, the people groan. And we know it's time, if we're going to save this nation, that we need to have Christian lawmakers serving at every level of government. I want to have a Christian running for every single 7,383 state legislative seats in the near future, and I want them running for the 535. And I have seen 23, now this is key, we have 23 state chairs already in place in states as diverse as Alaska, I mentioned, Vermont. I have Representative Victoria Strong in Vermont, Todd. I've got Representative Mark Pearson in New Hampshire, Representative John Riley in Michigan, Representative Tom Oliverson in Texas, Senator Dennis Baxley in Florida. I could go on and on. Those 23 states that make up the current executive body are in states with a total population of 160 million U.S. citizens, and we have six out of the top 10 states. And I can tell you that of all the things in this group, we actually sign our name to a pledge to say what we stand for. And it includes key things, but there's three that I want to make mention of. Number one, pro-life, protecting life from conception till natural death. Number two, marriage needs to be restored in this country between a man and a woman and quit destroying family. And number three, we proudly stand with Israel. And we're going to uphold the Judeo-Christian values of this country. I believe that if people stand with us, we'll win.
Okay. Well, Senator, yeah, let me get a word in here. I think you might want to add a fourth, which is protecting religious liberty in America. Based on what we have seen, that is a huge, huge issue for a lot of pastors around the country.
You know what, Todd? I'm going to try to post this. So that you get access to all of the founding documents that were approved at the end of our meeting the other day. And by the way, it does include standing for religious liberty, but I know I don't have time to read all of those to you today. But we definitely are coming together to stand for God and country, and we absolutely know that they have been trying to whitewash any mention of God out of the public square for now several decades. And we know that enough is enough. It's time for people to stand and to stand for what is right. And it's going to be tough because there are areas of the country where they've taken over. You've seen that. You report on that. And we've just said that enough is enough, and we've come together. And I'm going to post this information.
All right.
It has all of our 23 chairs. And you'll be able to see some names of people that basically are the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's of 2020 that said, we're not going to bow down to the false gods anymore.
Right.
We're going to stand for what is right.
All right. And the website, Senator, where can people go if they want to get more information about the National Association of Christian Lawmakers?
You can go to simplychristianlawmakers.com. We also have a Facebook page, and I'll tell you, right now they're updating the website, so be patient when you go today because we're putting all this new information that just happened here. No, and last thing is so great. You know, we did a Lifetime Leadership Award for Congressman McEwen, and we gave an award to Governor Huckabee who spoke as our keynote this year. But next year, at the Museum of the Bible, July the 16th and 17th, we've already got it booked, we're going to be honoring Pastor John Hagee, the founder of Christians United for Israel, and he is our Lifetime Leadership Award recipient. We'll address the body, and we hope,
right.
Todd, you've got a special event. Come be with us next year.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Senator. Senator Jason Rapert from the great state of Arkansas and the organization, newly formed National Association of Christian Lawmakers. And as you heard the web address there, ChristianLawmakers.com, for more information. It sounds like a great group and certainly a good number of folks that I know and guests that have been on this radio program are a part of this organization. All right. Got to take a break here, folks. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
All right. Well, Senator Marsha Blackburn is going to drop by the show tomorrow. Wow, she is going toe-to-toe with China. Ought to be a great conversation there. And I still like to know, why are we not at war with China right now? I mean, they have basically unleashed a biological weapon on American soil with this Wuhan China virus. So Lewandowski took me to task over that. So anyway, it's going to be a great show tomorrow. Again, ToddStearns.com is the website. All right, we have some crime news.
Keeping you updated on crimes sweeping across the Fruited Plain.
I ain't scared of no popo car, the popo car, the popo.
This is the Starnes ABB.
All right, Dateline Chicago, the Windy City. They calculated the damage from the rioters and looters, the reparations squad, $60 million, $60 million in damage to many businesses there in downtown Chicago. Lesbian Mayor Lori Lightfoot, meanwhile, cracked down on thong-wearing gay beachgoers. Instead of dealing with the protesters who were burning down her city, she told the gays that they were not allowed to sunbathe or congregate at a local beach. So there you go. We ought to call the fashion police to have a conversation about grown men wearing thong bikinis. Caleb, make a notation, please.
Note taken.
All right. From San Francisco, Bud Cauley, the professional golfer, very upset. He was in town and parked his SUV on a side street, and when he got back to it, they busted out the window and stole his backpack. Bud did what any red-blooded American citizen would do. He called 911, and Caleb, guess what they told Bud Cauley, the professional golfer?
What'd they tell him?
Yeah, we're kind of busy right now. That's what they told the guy. He called 911. They said, we're just busy. Who does that?
Leave so a message at the beep.
He's a little upset. Sir, is anyone bleeding? Do you have all of your appendages? Well, we probably can't. Yeah, you just can leave a message. Can you call back and just wait for the beep?
Can you just send over like a pack of bandages at least, maybe?
Just. And my favorite crime story of the day. This is from the pages of the New York Post. A Florida man was busted for DUI while riding a lawnmower on a highway. Paul Burke of Fort McCoy was busted on Highway 316 in Marion County. He was traveling far slower than the posted 55-mile-an-hour speed limit. You know, to be fair, you know, I mean, the John Deere tractors are great, but they don't have a lot of get up and go.
No, they don't. Although I think this is actually not a terribly uncommon occurrence in Florida. I'm pretty sure there have been other stories about people in Florida trying to drive their lawnmowers on major roads.
Mr. Burke, this is great. It was all captured on dash cam, and the deputy says, you realize you're on a public highway, right?
I'm gonna take a wild guess and say no shirt.
No. No, I think he did have a shirt on.
Oh, really? Wife
yeah,
beater?
I mean,
or?
No, it was just a well, it's hard to say. But he's wearing the prison orange, in the image I'm looking at here. Mr. Burke, they go back and forth, and they say, well, how much have you had to drink tonight? He says, well, a couple. And the deputy says, yeah, I think it's a little bit more than a couple. And so he wanted him to do the exercises. You know how they make you do the walk, or I don't know. I've never had to do that, so I don't know. But they make you do things. If you watch, what was the show that used to be very popular on A&E? They just took off the air.
Live PD.
Live PD. If you watch Live PD, you kind of know what they do. You know that you have. I miss that show.
Really Such a good show. Remember that one? There was that one, I think he was in Indianapolis, but that one officer that was always good at getting people to admit they had drugs on them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that is true. Mr. Burks apparently had no driver's license, but I don't guess you need a driver's license to drive a lawnmower. But anyway, he told the deputy, no need to do the field sobriety test, officer, because he said he'd been drinking a little too much. And so he said, I'll tell you what, officer, can you just get me a ticket? Because the guy goes, well, you really need to do these field sobriety. He goes, no need. I'm going to fail him. At least he was honest.
Well, the good news is normally with somebody with a DUI, he'd say, well, you could kill somebody. I don't think he's going to kill somebody. He might get himself killed, but I don't think he's a threat to anybody else riding the lawnmower around.
True. That's a good point. So he said, he was like, well, look, can you just give me a ticket and I'll go home? He says, yeah, no, you know, can't do that. So they took him off to jail, and he was charged with DUI, but apparently he was let go. Here's my question. What happened to the lawnmower?
He probably would have been fine if he hadn't changed lanes in that intersection.
So the sheriff's department says, just FYI, driving a lawnmower in the middle of a road where the speed limit is 55 is dangerous and illegal. Add being drunk into the mix, and it can become fatal. And it can be. So you got to be smart. Baptist Martini. If the guy was drinking a Baptist Martini, it wouldn't have been an issue. I'm just saying, with a wedge of lemon or a lime, got to try one. They're very tasty. I like mine on the rocks. All right. Wow. Great show today. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. In the meantime, head over to ToddStarnes.com. Check out the company store. We have some great new specials, Corona specials, just for you over at ToddStarnes.com. Have a good one, everybody.